Quiz Kid, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer and one-a-day brand vitamins.
Can you name at least one other Bob Murphy besides the one on this program?
Say, I like that first question for the Quiz Kids tonight, Joe. Can you answer it? Well, I wonder if our five school kids will know. We'll find out pretty quickly because here they are, the Quiz Kids. And tonight, folks, we'll also find out if the Quiz Kids are chips off the old block. The Quiz Kids observe Father's Day by cheerfully giving up their school desks to their own fathers during the last question session. And here's the man who'll try to keep two generations of Quiz Kids in line, our chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and good evening, everyone. And happy Father's Day to you five gentlemen who are twitching in the front row. Don't you think it's sweet and generous of the Quiz Kids to give up some of their questions for you tonight? Well, we'll begin with the children, you know, the easy questions that you fathers wouldn't want to bother with. And we'll save the really good ones for you later. And now, Quiz Kids, let's hear what you have to say for yourselves. Patrick?
I'm Patrick Owen Common, and I'm 9 years old and in fourth grade at the Fort Dearborn School.
Harvey?
I'm Harvey Bennett Fishman. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a junior at the South Shore High School in Chicago.
Ruthie?
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 12 years old because I had a birthday Thursday.
Well, happy birthday, Ruthie.
Thank you. And I'm in the ninth grade at U High.
Joel?
Well, I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 10 years old and 5 in the Volt School in Chicago, Illinois.
And Richard.
I am Richard Weisler. I'm 6 years old and I go to the 1A at the Shakespeare School.
Well, now, you've heard your first question from E.P. Sheck of Newark, New Jersey. Can you name at least one other Bob Murphy besides the one on this program? Harvey?
Well, there's a Bob Murphy who's the organizer of the Baseball Guild and who's been having some adventures with the Pittsburgh Ball Club. And then there's a Bob Murphy who's the sports editor of, I think, one of the Detroit papers. I think it's the News. And then there's a Bob Murphy who's a racehorse who ran in the Kentucky Derby.
That's right, Joel.
I think there's a Bob Murphy in the that's a justice in the Supreme Court. I know there is a Murphy, but I don't know whether he's Bob.
Well, now let's see. Harvey?
His first name is Frank.
Frank, that's right. Frank Murphy, so naturally he wouldn't count. All right, well, that gets us off to a nice start. Here's the next question. Charles F. Minister of Fairport, Ohio, points out that many famous men started in one profession and ended up in another. Who started out making an early type of prefabricated home in Persia and became a poet? Joel?
I think it was Omar Khayyam.
Omar Khayyam, that's right, Joel, that's correct. Who started as a mathematician and became a children's author? Joel?
Would it be Charles Dodgson, the author?
And what's
his
other...
His name was Lewis Carroll.
Lewis Carroll.
And he wrote Alice in Wonderland.
That's right. That's right. All right, tell me this. Who started as a dishwasher in a sorority house and became an engineer? All right, Ruthie.
I think it's one of the five fathers there. And I forget which one.
Ruthie, you're very warm. Harvey.
Mr. Fishman?
Huh?
No, I'm pretty sure it wasn't my dad. I think it was Mr. Kupperman.
That's who it was. It was Joel's father, Mr. Kupperman. Yes, sir, that was at the University of Illinois in 1919, and is Mr. Kupperman's face red? Well, that's all right. We're just having fun. You know, I've always been surprised that none of your fathers became professional singers. Their voices are so good. We'll all have a chance to hear them on this question from Doris Turner of Chicago. With Mr. Conlon taking the lead, the five fathers will sing two songs that mention a month of the year. You children must give a poetic quotation mentioning the same month. All right, Mr. Conlon, lead off on the first one.
While strolling through the park one day, in the merry, merry month of May, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish eyes. While strolling through the park one day.
Pretty close harmony there, fellas. Harvey?
Well, there's one that goes, I'm to be queen of the May, Mother. I'm to be queen of the May.
That's the idea. Pat?
Well, there's one called Song on a May Morning, I believe, and it says, Hail Bumptious May, that doth inspire youth and mirth and warm desire.
That's very, very good, Patrick. You have another one?
I believe there's one in the month by Sarah Coleridge, and it starts out, January brings the snow, makes our cheeks and fingers glow. And then it goes on...
Well, of course, now you've mentioned January there, and...
Well...
All right, go ahead. Are you going to bring in the month of May?
Oh, yes, it's the day of all the months.
Well, I just wondered.
All 12 of them, I just wanted to start them out.
Oh, I see.
And then it says, April brings us primrose sweet, scattered daisies at our feet. And I believe it says, May brings flocks of sweet, little lambs skipping by their fleecy dams.
Well, that's very, very good, thank you. Mr. Conlon, let's have a second, and I'm sure it will be even better than the first.
By the light,
by the light
of the silvery moon,
of the silvery moon,
I want to spoon,
I want to spoon,
to my honey I'll croon, love you. Honeymoon,
honeymoon, honeymoon.
Keep a shining in June.
Keep a shining in June.
Ruthie?
Well, in the narrative poem, The Vision of Sir Launfal, it says, oh, what is so perfect as a day in June?
That's very, very good, Ruthie. Harvey?
Oh, I thought it was, what is so rare as a day in June?
Well, of course, if you want to be technical,
anyhow,
Harvey.
On that last song, I thought June was busting out all over.
Oh! Yeah, it certainly was. Patrick?
Well, that one I mentioned, The Month by Sarah Coleridge, I can't think of the quotation, but since there is all of them in there, you can count.
Well, I'm sure June is in there. Oh, yeah. But we won't start with January, will we? And now, everybody get in on this question.
Can you identify this sound effect?
Oh, that's easy. That's a sound we hear a lot around our house. That's Alka-Seltzer.
Sure, it's Alka-Seltzer. It's a sound that means quick comfort when anyone in your home has an occasional headache or a touch of acid indigestion. It's a sound that you home gardeners better get acquainted with, too, because the day after you've been weeding the tomato patch, your muscles are liable to kick up an awful fuss. And there's a special pain-relieving ingredient in Alka-Seltzer that means quick comfort for muscular aches and pains. Keep plenty of Alka-Seltzer in your home. Next time you're in the drugstore, buy an extra package. Yes, instead of one, buy two. That's the wisest thing to do. Well, now, Joe, we've heard Alka-Seltzer fizz, so let's get on with the classroom quiz.
Oh, all right, we'll do that little thing right now, Robert. This question comes from Mrs. Harold L. Gorker of Baltimore, Maryland. What did $1 less than the maturity value of the smallest Series E war bond buy for Peter Minuit? Harvey?
Well, that would be $24, and that bought him the island of Manhattan for $24 in trinkets and beads.
That is absolutely right. Now, Manhattan Island, he paid $24 for it. That is, in trinkets, the equivalent to $24. Pat?
Well, I was going to say, he told the Indians it was a fortune. I suppose in those days it was fortune.
Oh, it certainly was. Yes, sirree.
But I don't think you'd consider it a fortune now.
No, not now. Not nowadays, Patrick. Well, now, this Bible question comes from Dora Dean Orr of Mount Enterprise, Texas. I will name all of the main characters in a famous Bible story except one. You children are to supply the missing person. All right, now listen. Ahasuerus, Vashti, Esther, Haman, and Pat?
Mordecai.
Mordecai.
He was Esther's uncle.
That's right. All right, now listen. Listen closely. Martha, Jesus, Mary, and whom? Ruthie?
Wasn't that John?
No. No. Martha, Jesus, Mary, and whom? Pat?
Lazarus?
Lazarus. That's right. Mm-hmm. And here's the last part of the question. Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar, Meshach, and Harvey?
Shadrach.
Shadrach. That's right. Here's a tall order from Leo J. Plonsky of New Orleans, kids. He wants a description of your father's, but to make it really tough, he wants you to describe your father in a sentence that contains the name of one or more magazines. Let's see what you can do with that. Well, little Patrick Conlon has his hand up first. All right, Patty.
Well, I'd say my father is full of life.
I would say the same thing. Yes, sir, he certainly is. He's a fine fellow. Ruthie?
Well, I'm going to make mine out to be gallant. I'd say that life and time have made him very much like an esquire.
Well, that's very, very clever, Ruthie. That's real sweet. Harvey?
Oh, I could say my dad leads the boy's life.
But, all right, Harvey, did you want to add anything to that?
His personality is worth a fortune.
Oh, I'll say. Joel?
Well, my dad's nice and he's much worth time.
That's very, very good. Richard, can you think of a description of your daddy by using the names of magazines like the rest of the kiddies have given us? You don't have to. I don't imagine you read magazines very much, do you? Huh? Maybe the funny book. But let's don't tie Daddy up with a funny book. No, sirree. All right, let's get along here. At the suggestion of M.N. Erickson of Seattle, Washington, we will now hear a short dramatic scene from Shakespeare. I want you kids to try to place the scene in the right play and the right act. Our actors and actresses will be your fathers. The leading role will be played by Mr. Fishman, his father by Mr. Weixler, a courtier by Mr. Kupperman, the brother of the hero's sweetheart by Mr. Conlon, the hero's mother by Mr. Duskin. All right, places, house lights, curtain Riley.
Give him the foil. Cousin, you know the wager? Very well, my lord. Your grace hath laid the odds on the weakest side. I do not fear it. I've seen you both. Come, begin.
Nothing, neither way.
Have at you now.
Nay, come again.
He's fat. He's tender breath. Here, take my napkin. Rub that ground.
Madam, by and by.
I'll hit him now. Yet it's almost against my conscience.
My lady, do not drink.
I will, my lord.
Look to the queen there. Hold.
The drink! The drink! I'm poisoned!
Oh, villainy, hold. Let the door be locked. Treachery. Seek it out.
All right, Joel?
Well, that was in Hamlet.
Hamlet?
In the dramatic last scene where Hamlet has a duel with Laertes, and Laertes poisons the sword and kills him, but in the scuffle the swords are changed and Laertes gets killed. And then the mother, the queen, is poisoned by the king, but the poison was intended for Hamlet, but she needed a drink. And Hamlet still hasn't died from the effects of the poisoned sword, so he killed the king and then he died.
Well, that's very good. Now we have some other hands left up for Pat.
Well, the queen, Hamlet's sweetheart was Ophelia. And her father was Polonius, who was stabbed behind the arrows.
Yes, uh-huh.
And Queen Gertrude was the one who was poisoned. And Claudius was the one who poisoned the drink.
Yes, that's right, Pat.
And he was also the one who put Laertes up to poisoning the sword.
Mm-hmm, yes. There's some skullduggery going on there. That's no question about that. Harvey?
Well, wouldn't that be Act 3, Scene 4?
No, that's... Joel gave me he said the last scene. Now, let's clear. What act is that in? What act? Ruthie?
Would it be Act 5?
Act 5, that's right. The last act. Mm-hmm. Harvey?
At any rate, it was really Hamlet.
Well, that prompts me to say, after all of the singing by the fathers and this dramatic acting, I just would like to say that I think they're all of them hiding their lights under 5 bushels. here's a new type of geography question from Marion G. Moore of Brooklyn, New York. It's called fictional geography. Can you locate the following places? First, the Emerald City. Ruthie.
That's in the Land of Oz, from the books by L. Frank Baum and Ruth Plumly Thompson. And the Emerald City is the capital city of Oz. It's right in the middle.
That's right. Good girl, Ruthie. How about the Land of Counterpane? Ruthie?
Well, that's in Robert Louis Stevenson's imagination.
And Pat?
Well, on the first question, I was going to say that the Land of Oz, the road to it was paved by yellow bricks. Also, I can name some of the books.
Well, look, Pat, we're just locating the Emerald City, see? I know you can name the books, but, we got started on January a while ago, and after all, we've got a lot of other questions here, too, so thanks just the same. Harvey?
Well, Counterpane was the title of a poem, wasn't it? And didn't it refer to the bedsheets and
That's right, from the poem, The Land of Counterpane by Robert Louis Stevenson. However, still was his imagination, don't you think, as Ruthie said? Valley of Humiliation. Pat?
That was in Little Women, I believe. And I believe the...
No. No, you're wrong.
Are in the Pilgrim's Progress.
Pilgrim's Progress, eh?
I know. They mentioned it in there, too.
You what?
They mentioned that. I believe there's a chapter called Amy's Valley of Humiliation in there. And I naturally thought of that. I believe that is what it was.
You what?
I believe it was the Pilgrim's Progress, yes.
Well, it was Pilgrim's Progress. I must check that other book, though, to make sure on that. Well, quiz kid, that's all for you. Tonight, it's a 2-bell show, one for you and one for your fathers. And even though you participated only part-time, you each get a $100 saving bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And now then, it's time to bring Dad up for his share of the limelight, and you quiz kid fathers will have to go some to beat the brain work your children showed us this evening. And now, while our fathers are squeezing in behind those little school desks, here's Bob Murphy.
I'd like to talk to that lady who spoke up when we heard the Alka-Seltzer fizz a few minutes ago. You said that was a familiar sound in your home. Would you elaborate on that?
Well, you see, Mr. Murphy, I just think of Alka-Seltzer as an old family friend.
Oh?
You see, I have 4 youngsters, and they're all live wires. I find that it's a lot harder to keep my patience when the children are raising Cain, and all that racket gives me a nervous headache. That makes me a little irritable and impatient, and, of course, I don't want to be that way with the children.
Oh, of course not.
So I just soothe my headache with an Alka-Seltzer before I attempt any family discipline.
Well, I see your point, having 3 lively young Murphys at home myself. Folks, I hope you'll all remember that Alka-Seltzer can be helpful in your home, too. Next time you're in the drugstore, buy 2 packages instead of 1. Keep 1 package of Alka-Seltzer at home and take the other one with you wherever you go. And keep your eye on that supply. When your tablets get down to 4, that's the time to buy some more.
Thank you, Bob. And now, fathers, you have a chance to prove, if you can, that the brains came from your side of the family. Folks, I now present the senior class, Yale Fishman, accountant and lawyer.
Here.
Boris Duskin, high school teacher.
Here.
Patrick Conlon, lawyer.
Here.
Saul Kupperman, engineer.
Here.
Raymond Weixler, railroad conductor.
Here.
All right, now then, let's see whether you fathers have been following the news as closely as your children usually do. When Fred Vinson became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who succeeded him as Secretary of the Treasury? Mr. Duskin?
John Snyder.
John Snyder, that is right. And what office did he hold before that?
Office of Reconversion and More Mobilization, I think.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And who succeeded Mr. Snyder as director of the Office of War Mobilization and Reconversion? Mr. Weitzler?
Paul Porter.
No. No. Mr. Copperman?
John Steelman.
No. No, you're both wrong. Mr. Fishman?
The former OPA director.
No, you're wrong also. Mr. Copperman?
John Steelman was nominated. I don't suppose he's been passed by the Senate yet.
Well, no, perhaps I'd better tell you. No one. The office is being discontinued. Mr. Copperman?
The latest news is that John Steelman was nominated for that office.
Well, the latest news that I have is the office of Mr. Snyder will not be abolished immediately, but will be discontinued gradually. Well, you missed that part of the question, so whoever said I can't find it, now whoever sent that question in gets the Big Zenith from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. It's a $200 radio phonograph combination with two FM bands and featuring a sensational new way to play records with the Cobra tone arm. Mail a good question to Quiz Kid Chicago, and even if you don't win the big super-duper radio phonograph set for stopping the children, you do get a brand-new Zenith Standard and shortwave clip-reportable if we use your question on the show. Now then, fathers, if the wife went away and left you with a kid, Elizabeth Fleming of San Diego wonders if you would choose these ways to amuse the children. Would you give them an SiO2 box, Mr. Duskin?
Easily, because SiO2 represents sand, mostly silicon dioxide.
That's
and
right.
Sandbox.
And the kids would have a fine time in the sandbox. All right. Would you give them some C3H4, OH in parentheses, and COOH taken three times, and some C12, H22, O11, and H2O? Mr. Duskin?
I think that's kind of fast. That was citric acid, I believe.
And what else?
The rest is sugar and water, so that sounds like lemonade.
Lemonade, that's right. That's correct. All right, answer this. Would you give them some CH3, C6, H2... NO2 taken three times, Mr. Duskin?
That's TNT, trinitrotoluene.
That's right, TNT. That's an explosive. Now then, we're going to find out who are the real mathematicians in your respective households. Kenneth Preston of New York City wants you to suppose your wife told you to take your fishing pole out of the living room and put it in your closet. The closet is 4 feet wide, 3 feet deep, and 12 feet high. And the pole is 14 feet long. Could you make your wife happy and put your fishing pole away in the closet? Mr. Copperman?
No. The longest dimension in that closet would be 13 feet.
That is absolutely right. You couldn't put the 14 feet fishing pole in there. That's absolutely right. Can you explain that a little more?
The base area is 3x4, and the diagonal of that would be 5. And then you have another right angle triangle with the one leg at 5 and the other leg at 12. And the hypotenuse of that would be 13.
Yes.
Which would be from the front right-hand corner to the front right-hand lower corner to the top left-hand rear corner. And that would be 13 feet, and that's the longest dimension in the closet.
Yes, that would be quite a job getting that for you. All right, thank you, Mr. Copperman. Now, here's a very personal question from Helen McLean of Portland, Oregon. She wants to know whether your wives pick out your clothes for you. Mr. Duskin?
I'm glad to say she does. Mine does.
Mrs. Duskin picks out your clothes. Do
yes.
you help pick out your wife's clothes?
When she lets me.
When she lets you. Well, how about the rest of you fathers? Mr. Fishman?
No, I do my own selecting.
You do? And how about helping Mrs. Fishman select her clothes?
I like to, but she doesn't want me to.
Oh, she does. Uh-huh. Well, how about the rest of you? Mr. Copperman?
Well, I choose my own clothes, but my wife seems to think that she likes to have me along when she buys hers.
I see. Uh-huh. Mr. Conlon?
My wife doesn't select my clothes, but I think Mrs. Duskin from now on will be selecting Mr. Duskin's clothes in as much as he's playing feminine parts in Hamlet. The Queen.
That's very cute. How do things work out like that in your family, Mr. Weitzer?
Well, as a rule, I pick out my own clothes, except when she gives me a gift of collation. But frequently, I help my wife pick out her clothing.
Oh, you do?
She thinks I have very good taste in feminine clothing.
Well, good for you. Well, that's fine. Well, that's the last bell, fathers, and all I have to say is, like father, like son. Now, I suppose all you fathers would like to know how you did as grown-up quiz kids. Well, who's a better judge of that than the quiz kids themselves? We leave it up to them. Come on, quiz kids. You each get one vote to decide the winning quiz kid father. And the winner gets the traditional Father's Day gift, this snappy polka-dot necktie. All right, Richard, who do you vote for?
My father.
You vote for your father. Yeah, now, well, what do you know about that? That's strange. And Harvey?
Well, I vote for my father, too.
You do. And Joel, who do you think was best?
Well, I think my father
was
pretty well.
And Ruthie?
Well, I think that they were all good, but I think the one called Mr. Duskin was
better. No. And how about your vote, Patrick?
Well, I say my father was the best one because of the singing.
Oh, because of the singing? Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have to call this a five-way tie, I guess. But I'm not going to cut this good-looking necktie into five pieces, gentlemen. Just in case something like this would happen, we came prepared with five Father's Day neckties. All of them identical, so you fathers wouldn't quarrel over them or anything like that. Quiz kids, I think your voting was absolutely fair and square, because every kid knows his own daddy best. And I want to thank you quiz kid fathers for helping us celebrate Father's Day so appropriately.
Say, Joe, you're not forgetting the quiz kids just because their fathers were so much fun. What about tonight's winners?
Well, all in good time, Robert. The judges did their computing on the quiz kids' scores as usual, and here's the decision. The judges say you quiz kids in your part of the show. You missed no questions. Patrick was first, Harvey second, and Ruthie and Joel tied for third. So, with you four children in next week's classroom will be Ronald Fogle, age 12. This is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids class until the same time next week. Good night, kids.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Good night, fathers.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every Sunday and to your old friends, Lum and Abner, every Monday through Thursday. Now, folks, the 4th of July weekend is coming up pretty soon, and I suppose you're planning a family outing for the holiday. Well, listen, when you're starting on that trip, put Alka-Seltzer in your grip. Instead of one, next time buy two. It's the wisest thing to do. Traveling often causes trouble, so buy Alka-Seltzer by the double. Acid indigestion might irritate you late at night, or maybe you'll be kept awake when tired muscles pain and ache. If those discomforts bring you grief, try Alka-Seltzer for relief. Two packages instead of one will help ensure your weekend fun. This is Bob Murphy speaking, and this is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.